Good morning. It's good to be back up here again. It's a privilege to do this. I hate to put you folks through it sometimes, but I'd much rather hear Kurt. But we all pray for their safe return. First thing we want to do this morning is I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless what I'm about to say, because there's a whole bunch here I want to say, and I'm speaking to me. One of the benefits by what I do from time to time, I think it's the third or fourth time I've done this, is I get so much out of what I get this week studying the Word, and it all points back to me. So I don't know. I don't feel this message, and I've struggled with it all week. Actually, this has happened several times now, the four times I've spoken, but this wasn't what I prepared for this week. And I'm not real spiritual, but I just didn't feel that was what I was supposed to deliver. I had something else on my heart. And I've had this same thing on my heart for several months, maybe even years. And it's about me. And it may be about some of you guys. I don't know. It may be for somebody in here, but I know it's for me. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to gather in a free country with family. We thank You for our blessings that we can't even comprehend. Father, I ask You to take these words that You've put on my heart and somehow give me the ability. Let me stand back and have the Holy Spirit do that. That's even better. That I don't have the words. That they get something for whoever this is for. I know one person it's for. That I be able to take this and use this in my walk, that I grow deep. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me see something here. No. You got a dollar? I only got one. Yeah, I want a dollar. I ask Val for money a lot. Val seems like she's always got money. I don't know where it comes from, but she got a lottery ticket. Praise the Lord. You got a lot of money. I'm waiting for a dollar. Okay. $2. I only had one. It's $2. Half of the world. How many people is that? I wrote it down somewhere. Half, 3 billion, over 3 billion people in this world live on less than $2 a day. That's incomprehensible to me. I don't get it. I know that that happens because I didn't read that in the Bible. I Googled that. $2 a day or less live on $2 a day. Now, that makes the rest of the world look at us, and we're not the only ones. The United States is not the only ones that are wealthy, but we're super wealthy people. Who in here is broke? Come on. Come on now. Who in here is broke? Who in here feels broke from time to time? I feel like I'm a Pentecostal. I feel broke all the time. Yeah, I got both hands up. You know. But my monthly budget, I just did my taxes, my monthly budget. I'm not going to throw that number out there last year, but $2 a day, over 3 billion people live on. And, I mean, it's not even worth putting back in the wallet for us. I mean, it's not worth, there you go, see, he knows what I'm saying. It's not even worth putting back in your wallet $2 a day. Now, if I held up a $100 bill, maybe $200, that would be the average person in the United States. I had to Google this too, I know different regions make more money, about $200 a day, or about $50-some thousand dollars a year. And that's not that much money. I've had years, Val and I've had years that we've done a lot better than that. We've had years we didn't make anything at all because we didn't work. But the average person in the United States, each person runs on about $50,000 a day on average. Now, I know there's some areas in the mountains in eastern Kentucky and stuff don't do that well. So that puts us at the top of the economic, social status of this world. And even though we feel broke a lot, or we don't have enough money, I don't have enough money. I'm talking to me again. I should be that's weird when I stop and think about it. Valerie and I have been looking into certain countries that maybe next winter or the winter after next, or whenever it works into our convenient schedule, that we may go into the mission field. I'd like to do that. I'd like to say, I read a book a few, and it's these guys fought. Ian and Megan told me about a book several weeks ago, or several, about this time last year, almost, well, a little bit before that, because you guys were on your way out to Colorado. They said, we're reading this book called Radical by David Platt. They said, you need to read it. So I said, okay. So I read it. And he, at that time, was a mega church pastor in Birmingham, Alabama, that had real conviction about what he was doing. So, you know, he started going to China, smuggling Bibles, things like that. So Valerie and I don't think we're going to be smuggling any Bibles, but we're going to be, we don't know. But we've been looking into the exchange rates. Brent and I have talked about it. Malawi, we've looked at that, $714 to one U.S. dollar. You know, of course, inflation is huge, but, you know, India, Jacob's in India right now. I mean, one of the poorest group of people on earth. And where I'm going with this is that here in the United States, just with our vehicles and our clothes and our shoes and everything that we spend, just trivial, none of us here are relying on, Lord, give us our daily bread. We pray that prayer. I mean, it's a prayer. We pray. But we're not doing it that way. We got money. We got money for everything that we need. So that's a problem for me. That's a problem. The problem that I'm wealthy in the eyes of the world, and I have all this disposable income, Jesus said that's a problem. He wrote about it in this book. Let's see. I've got a whole bunch of notes that I've already haven't even paid it. You want your dollar back? Okay, here, take your dollar. It's in my way. Take mine too. Let's all turn to Luke 18. We've all read it 100 times. These scriptures that I'm going to be using today, every one of these have always been a problem for me. You know, I read the Bible, and I'm weird. I read it, and I believe what it says. I don't go into the translation. I don't go into the Hebrew or the Greek. I just read it. I'm not that smart. And I've always had a problem. I've even talked to some of you guys about this. Starting in Luke 18, verse... Oh, I messed my glasses up yesterday, so I got a real old pair of glasses here. I ain't no telling what I'm getting ready to read. So, I feel like an old guy. Luke 18, verse 18. We actually went over this in our prison fellowship this week. One of the guys brought this out. I dismissed it because it wasn't speaking to me. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" We've all heard it. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered him. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I have carefully obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard this answer, he said, "There's still one thing that you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Now, I've read that scripture. I'm 59, 58. I've read that scripture all my life. And when Valerie and I first started our first business and started making money, I would read that scripture and it would convict me. Now, maybe I'm weird. I'm not saying, like I say, this is not for everybody. But after giving it a lot of study, I knew what Jesus meant. I figured it out. He means if you're rich and you want to follow after him, that you need to give your money away. That's what it means to me. Now, how's that work? How's that work for your 401k plan? How does that work for your family, your grandkids, and all that stuff? But then Jesus goes on and says that if you don't forsake this world and pick up your cross and follow me, then you're not following my commandments. Now I know this little deep, because I'm not ready to do that yet, but it can fix me. When I look at these missionaries that come through this church, when I look at the Hazels that just came, I talk to them every day now on Facebook, and Pete, and I see these folks that are, Larry and the Grays that just left. I mean, they're 60-some years old, and they've given their whole lives to follow after Jesus. Yeah, Larry and Jan. Great. So I look at that, and I'm thinking, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm the rich young ruler. I don't drink, or I don't cuss much. I don't cheat on my taxes too much, a little bit. There's a lot of stuff I do right, but I'm hanging on to this world. I'm so busy on Monday morning that I am just wrapped up in this world, and that don't bring any peace or joy to my life. The best part of my week is the 4 hours I spend in prison discipling other inmates. I look forward to it. And the strongest and deepest men that I have met, including a whole bunch of pastors, are some of them men in that prison. I know some of them are playing games. I mean, we've all, some of us have been in prison a lot. But some of them aren't. Some of them are so deep that convicts me. So Jesus is telling this story about this rich young man, and I've heard it explained all kind of ways. I've heard it being talked about, and he don't mean that you can't keep your money, that you can't have money, you just can't love it. Well, I ain't never had any money I didn't love and didn't want more of. I think that's why he talked about it. It's like chocolate chip cookies. I've never had one I didn't like. And I didn't want more of. I ate 3 cookies this morning, and if Lord willing, I'll make 3 more before when I leave, if they're still there. Huh? Well, that's what I mean. So let's turn over, on that same note, let's just turn over the page, if your Bible's a little bit like mine, turn to chapter 19. Jesus goes on, let me see here real quick. Let me see. Where were we? 18 to 29. I didn't get that far. I'm going to go back, and I think I finished up it. Let's see. When the rich young man walked off, he said, "Those who heard this said, 'Then who in the world can be saved?' He replied, 'What is impossible for people is possible with God.'" We're back on 18 and verse 29, 28. Peter said, "We've left our homes to follow you." "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up their house or their wife or their brothers or their parents or their children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life and will have eternal life in the world to come." The message that I thought the Lord was giving me this morning to give to you guys, or given to me, was if Jesus was the pastor of this church, how many people would come? I never thought about it like that. You figure if Jesus is in town, he's got a church. How many people would go to his church? I don't think that Jesus would have a big church. As a matter of fact, I think there's some pastors right here in Mitchell County would draw more people than Jesus. Jesus was hard. He just talked about leaving your family, leaving your wife, leaving your children. Who in here is willing to do that? That's what the Word says. He didn't say, well, you know, that's not what I meant, down here somewhere later. He keeps going back to, if you're willing to follow me, if you're willing to do what is required to follow me, to be a disciple of me and go and make disciples, we can't be in love with this world. However you want to define that. But that's what he said. And then at most of the end of each one of his parables, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Well, in today's vernacular, I say, well, if you get it, you get it. It's not for everybody. It's like, really? Large crowds would follow Jesus. They would come from miles and miles around. And he would give them a parable about the good soil. And they would look at him like, do what? Even the disciples would come to him and say, do what? What was that about? He who has an ear, let him hear. If you get it, you get it. I wonder if I get it. I wonder if the Lord is calling me deeper. I wonder if the Lord is tired of me playing church. I'm okay with coming to church, and I'm okay with sitting there, and I love the church. I love these people. And I don't, like I say, I think a lot of you folks have already done this in your lives. There's some people that go to this church has pressed me to go further. And hopefully something I'll say today will do that to you. That we're serving the God of the universe. We're serving the God that made us, the God that allows me to take this breath, this next breath that I'm taking, and I'm worried about my checking account. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all of this. And I'm worried about this little speck on this earth that's mine. My little houses and my little bank accounts. And he's saying, no, 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 that's not what I called you for. That's not what you're here for. You're here to show other people that you can give all this up. Now, I don't know how that's going to take place. I mean, Butch is going to make a, you know, if I sell all my houses, Butch is going to get 3 commission checks. But I'm seriously considering it. I am. I'm seriously considering doing something radical for Jesus. He promises me, if I will do that, then I can sit on his throne. I can sit on the throne with him. And I'm thinking, Lord. And it all started, or not it all start, it has been influenced, or it's been supported even stronger by going into the prisons each week. Because those men don't have anything. And it convicts me. I don't want to go to prison. Well, you know, for Jesus maybe, but I don't even want to do that. That'd be a terrible place to be. But I see when there's nothing else left but Jesus. When there's no allure to this world, and I'm not there yet. I still love money, and I still love possessions, and I still love stuff. But I think he's starting to strip me down from it. I think he's starting to take it away, take that desire away. And I pray that, Lord, whatever your will be in my life, use me, send me. And that's, and I mean that. How do I do that? So much for notes. Let's go to, I'll go back to them. Let's see here. Can you hear me? Let's go to Revelations chapter 3. This is where the sermon starts. Revelation's in the back. Somewhere. Right before the maps. John's on the Isle of Patmos. We all know the setting. Jesus has given John a vision. He's writing about the 7 churches. And this has always, it's another one of those scriptures that has always been interesting as a preacher's kid. Starting in chapter 3, verse 14. I write this letter to the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is Amen, and faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all things you do, and that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And I don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes, that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifferences. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Here's that same phrase. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Anybody that can understand that, not everybody gets it. I'm not sure I get it fully. But when I read about the church of Laodicea, I see the church in America today. I see the church in Avery County today. I see the church in Maryland where I came from today. We're really cool about coming in here and sitting for a few minutes. And we're really cool about giving a little bit of money to the mission field. And we're really cool about picking up our Bible and carrying it to Bible study. But that's not what he's talking about. What is taking place, and the Bible speaks of it in several different places in the last days, which I think we're somewhere in. I don't know where, how much longer the last days are going to be. Is this lukewarmness that has entered into the church and how that breaks his heart? How that we see, how I see coming to church is all I need to do. How I see that being a little Christian, being a little type of Christian, or being, and that's not what he ever was talking about. He was talking about giving it all up. He was talking about forsaking all of this and following him. And I really believe that's the state of the church today, because most of us are 50 plus years old, is because we don't have anybody that's willing to stand up for Christ and say, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. We get it. Our high school kids get it. Our college kids get it. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we see Jacob go off someday on a short-term mission trip and never come home. And their parents would agree. He's on fire. You can't get around him and not feel it. You can't get around him and not experience that. And I know a lot of other people that I've met like that. But then we get in here and we get a mortgage and we get a house payment and we get responsibility and we get a 401k plan. For what? For how long? Suppose we picked up this idea of following Christ so strongly. And I'm not saying all, you know, obviously some of you folks are never going to go to the mission field. But I believe there's three ways you can do this. You can go, you can send, or you can disobey. Some of you are going to be senders. Some of you are going to be goers. And some of you are going to disobey. You're not going to do anything. You're going to come to church. And I don't want to be that person that just comes to church. I want to give it all up. And I don't know how that's going to look. And I'm saying some pretty bold things here for me to say. I don't know how that's going to look. But these scriptures have always given me some real soul searching. All this stuff. I got more papers. I got a whole notebook of stuff at home I didn't even use. Got to pick up one. I would have put it on a Word document, but I wasn't smart enough. My concern is that I would think that I was lukewarm. I am lukewarm. I think that the Lord has helped me by coming to Walnut Grove and being introduced to people like Kurt. And Kurt asking me to come into the prisons, and David and Alice asking me to come into the prisons and stuff like that. That's really been a really, really interesting thing for me to do. But I still think, and I'm not talking about works here. I'm not talking about earning it. I don't want to get off James tells you that in Jesus' brother in the book of James says that you're saved from works to works. And that's confusing for a lot of people. I'm not talking about you got to go do something. That's not what I mean. I want to fall in love with my God. That when people see me, they know that there's something different about me. Not that because I'm real spiritual, not because I don't drink or smoke or run around or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want him to wake me up like he did this morning at 6 o'clock so I can get into the Word and I can pray and read. And I'm sharing that with you because that didn't used to be me. But now I can. I do it every day. And the more I do it, the more I want to do it. And I am really under the conviction of that I want to have a conversation with God. And I'm not real spiritual, so I'm not waiting for his voice. I'm not sitting around watching television and waiting for God to speak to me, because he speaks to me every morning. And I turn around and I bow and I speak to him every morning. And we have this conversation. And that makes me feel so good. It makes me feel in love with him, that the God of the universe that looked down before the foundations of the earth and said, this one's mine. And I'm going to talk to him in the morning. I'm going to talk to him in the afternoon. I'm going to talk to him. And he's going to talk to me. And the more we get to know each other, the more he tells me about how great that word is, the more he's going to ask me to go tell you and those guys in prison. And hopefully someday, who knows where. That's so special to me. And I want to share it with you guys. I want to share it with young folks and old folks. And, you know, Val and I were talking about coming up here this morning. She went and saw Lloyd at the Bryan Center, and how she said she walked through there and there was just like people everywhere. And there was nobody in there visiting. And I know there's good people going to visit people at the Bryan Center, because I hear people talk about it. But there's so much here we could do. There's so much I could do. But I can't do it working 80 hours a week and buying houses and doing all that stuff. And I'm convicted about that. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. It's one of these things that's, I really believe that if you ask God, if you don't have a desire to be in the Word, if you don't have a desire to pray, and I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning, I believe if you ask God, he'll give it to you. I believe he wants to talk to you. And I believe he wants you to talk to him and him to talk to you. And I believe that's alive. I believe that's something that's organic. It's growing. And I believe that we have the ability here with this little group of people right here that we can go and reach the world. There's no doubt in my mind. There's none. I know there's always, but there's a great work already taking place here. Let's turn to Matthew 7. Let me see. Verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will find it. Kind of blows that prosperity thing out of the water. We don't see anywhere in the scriptures where Jesus says, outside that door is your cross, and if you pick up that cross, it may cost you your life. Where Jacob's at this morning may cost him his life. You guys are concerned about that. I get that. I'm praying for him. But it may cost him his life. And that's what Jesus says. He said, outside that door, when you walk out that door, you're to pick up your cross and follow me. So there's going to be a whole bunch of people, according to the scripture, that's going to be doing the right thing the wrong way. There's going to be a lot of people on that road that's going to be doing the right thing. All the right things. But it's not going to be effective for Jesus. He said, there's only going to be a few. All these people are going this way. There's going to be a bunch of us going this way. I've been going that way all my life, a whole bunch of us. But up here, there's only going to be a real few people that's going the right way. I mean, that's kind of scary to me. It's kind of like, that's wild. Does that mean that churches are filled with people going the right way or the wrong way? You know, is the church what he's talking about? The broad, many are found thereon. The church in America today, the ineffective church, church that don't have an altar anymore, the church that don't pray anymore, the church that just does a prayer in the morning, a couple songs, no worship. And then up here, you know, some of us are old enough to remember how church used to be and how we would break down strongholds and how we would pray for healings and how we would just cling on to the garment of God and say, look, you got to answer our prayers. You've got to meet our needs. You've got to be here with us. And none of this other stuff matters. But broad is the way. We've turned it into an event. Broad is the way. And I don't know. I mean, I'm asking you guys the same thing. I mean, is that what it's talking about? Am I on the narrow way? Let's see, Matthew 21:23. Same. This one here has always troubled me when I read it. And I think in my lukewarmness, backslidden condition for all the years that I've walked with Christ as a church attendee, I think that's probably why. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But what will I reply? I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to stand in front of him. And I'm one of these guys that I didn't hear about eternal security and grace until I was well up into my 20s. I never even knew it existed. And I believe in eternal security. I believe once you're saved and you repent and you're going this way with the world and you turn around and you start going this way, I believe you're his. But I believe there's a whole bunch of people that ask Jesus into their heart, you know, Can I have somebody look up here this morning? We've all heard it. Can I have somebody raise their hand? And I had a guy share with me in prison this week. He's doing long time. He just got to Avery Mitchell this week. And he came to our 4-hour Bible study. And he was crying. He's a grown man. He's not quite my age. I'd say he's 45 years old. He's in there crying, saying that when I was a kid, I went to a revival service, and I asked Jesus into my heart. And when I turned out and walked out, I ain't never thought about him again in my life. And that breaks my heart. He didn't have a salvation experience, I don't believe. We've got a good friend, that we saw go to the altar one Sunday morning in our church, and she wasn't a believer. And she went to the altar, and she got up crying, and she was a mess. I mean, she gave it all at the altar, but she never changed. We watched her life ruined. We watched her family ruined. We watched her, she got killed on a motorcycle. I'm wondering, Lord, I'm not judging. I don't mean to sound like I am, but I don't want to take a chance. I want when he looks at me, I want him to say, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. You did a couple things right. Now come and enter in and sit on the throne with me. That would be so awesome. I think I've got one more verse. Let me see here. Let's go to Revelation 4. I got ahead of myself here, but it's still playing. It's still appropriate. You know, we all want enough of God to get to heaven. I've always wanted enough of God. You know, it's like life insurance. Val's big on life insurance. I don't really care. But we pay a lot of money for life insurance, more each year because we're getting older. And so we want this assurance that if something happens to one of us, the other one's not going to have to work as hard, I guess. Is that why we do it? Okay. The burden. Cost us a lot of money to not have that burden, but anyhow. But we all want enough of Jesus. We all want enough of the church. We all want enough of our Christian life to have that assurance that, you know, about God. We're a Christian nation. We're a Christian county. We're a Christian town. We're a Christian church. I get that. But there's a remnant. There's a few that want a much deeper, want a much greater, want a much that are willing to lay down their life. They're willing to give this world, look away from this world and just follow after Christ. And here he's talking about, once that's done, how we're going to worship in heaven. And I can't hardly imagine. You know, I've made a joking remark a lot of times, you know, and of course, I guess it's easier as you get older, but everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Well, I get that. But as you fall in love with Christ, as you fall in love with what he's done for me, then being with him seems really cool. Being with him, we were talking this morning about everybody's going to be like young and everybody's going to look different. And we're going to see people like Moses and Elijah and we're going to be there for eternity. And I know that sounds weird to some people, but that's the desire that I have. That'd be really, I mean, I can't wait. I don't want to go today. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being crazy. But I cannot imagine how it's going to be to be in the presence of Jesus. I mean, that's going to be so crazy. It's going to be so awesome. It says here in Revelation chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Then I looked, and this is John talking. Then I looked and saw a door opening in heaven. The same voice that I heard before spoke to me with a trumpet blast. The voice said, come up here, and I'll show you what must happen after this. And instantly, in the spirit, I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of the emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him. 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of thunder and lightning and flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches burning with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shining sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second living was like an ox. The third, a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. And each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. And day after day, night after night, they kept saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The one who always was, and the one who is, and the one who is to come. There's going to be 10,000 times 10,000 angels also, it says in verse chapter 5 in Revelations, around that throne saying, behold the Lamb who is slain before the foundations of the earth. And I just cannot imagine how that's going to be, where we're able to walk up and present our crowns and say, this is what I did. I'm not going to walk up and say I owned 8 houses. I'm not going to walk up and say I made $1 million a year. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to walk up there and say, you know, man, life was, you know, it was really good. Thank you. I want to walk up there with whoever here has got unsaved loved ones. There's grandkids in here that's going to die and go to hell if they don't know Jesus. There's husbands and wives that we know, aunts, uncles, cousins, that's going to die and go to hell for eternity. And I don't want that. I want to be a part of that. God don't need me. I need Him. He don't need me to do this. He's God. But I want to do it. I want revival to break out in Avery Mitchell. That would be so awesome to see that happen, to see men whose lives have been ruined. Then I want to see lives changed in South America and India and Africa. That's it. That's all there is. That's it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity. I'm not sure who it was for other than me. But I ask you to take me deeper. That there's nothing lukewarm about me. That you'll send us, that you'll use us for your glory, that we can bow at your feet and praise you for the awesome gift of your Son, and we can bring people with us. If it be one, I'll be happy. If there's just one person, but I'd like to bring more. And say, I didn't do a lot, but this is what I did. If I'm broke when it happens, if I don't have a retirement, if I don't have a home to live in, if I don't have whatever the trappings of this world that we use to keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing for you, Father, take it from me. Father, I ask this. I ask that you ignite a fire in me. Ignite a fire in my family here at this church, that when people see us, not because we're busy working for you, not because we're so wrapped up in being religious that we just love one another and we have a desire to please you, we have a desire to worship you. It's not about the programs, it's not about the stuff that we kind of cram into this and make us, it's not about the how many people come here. Father, you changed the world with 12 people. Father, I ask that you just give me the opportunity. Give my family here the opportunity to help change the world. Go with us this week. Give us desire to get into your word. If we are not in the habit of picking up the Bible, if we're not in the habit of bowing our knee, if we're not in the habit of that, Father, convict us. Because you love us so much, you want to commune with us, you want to have a conversation with us, Father. Be with the folks on the bus ride home. Father, we ask that we use this church in a mighty way, that you use us in a mighty way, Father. We don't know when your return is, Father, but we look forward to that. We ask that you be with the unsaved in this church, the people that we know probably, if you were to come today, you're not going to make heaven their home. We ask that you be with Lloyd in the Bryan Center, the sick. We ask that folks that, you know, have cancer and the folks that you put on our hearts to pray for daily. We ask that you do that this week, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.